This is a talk based on some my paper, which is available in this website. Querying hyperset web-like databases. So, actually the goal of this talk is rather modest. I want to give simple presentation of hyperset approach to semi-structured databases, and because of some analogy with World Wide Web, just analogy, it doesn't mean that real World Wide Web, it could be called web-like database. The central topic is expressive power of querying to semi-structured databases. Why is this approach? In terms of descriptive complexity, and also by demonstrating some examples. I just will show how to describe semantics of path expressions, which is a topic widely used in semi-structured databases. And we'll make some comparison with two closely related languages, UNQL and UNCAL, unstructured query language and unstructured calculus for this unstructured query language. So we will compare these languages together with the Delta language, which is devoted exactly to hyperset approach. Actually, no attempt will be given to give any exhaustive survey. So, expressive power. Just some citations about semi-structured databases and querying to these databases. So, some known book written by Abit Wool, Guneman, Sushil, Data on the Web, from relation to semi-structured databases and XML. So no accepted notion of completeness for semi-structured data restructuring. Cardelli. So basic questions of expressive power are still open. Let me demonstrate that they are not so open and how they can be resolved via hyperset approach. Let me stress that the traditional approach to semi-structured databases is via graphs. Graphs with labeled edges. Hyperset approach is closely related to this approach, but nevertheless it has something additional. So hyperset approach resolves this question about expressive power, give precise characterization of expressive power of some appropriate query language. So it's also based on finite graphs with labeled edges, as usually for semi-structured databases. And the additional note that we assume no ordering on nodes of these graphs. So in this way, it is not the case of XML, where everything is ordered. So hyperset approach assumes generalization of the ordinary set theoretical approach. Something unusual could happen. For example, such a set omega exists according to hyperset approach, or it's actually well-known theory of hyperset theory or not well-founded theory, so there are two books written on this topic. Such a strange set omega exists, which consists of itself, and exactly of itself. Just one example. A lot of such sets exist, which could be with such cycles. So this gives some abstract model for arbitrary data having no predefined structure. We consider hereditarily finite sets consisting of elements which are sets. The elements are also sets, and maybe these cycles are like here. So arbitrary, so no structure, no rigid structure. Therefore, it's just semi-structured. The approach is semi-structured databases. So it's based on the well-known approach to hyperset theory. And is a natural generalization of a relational view on databases. Just example, very simple example for have a relational database. It consists of tuples, so here are attributes, relational name, just example. And each database, relational database, is actually a set of relations. So DB is equal to a set of relations. Each relation is a set of tuples, a set of these tuples. So like here, students, student 1, student 2, and so on, student 1. Each student is actually a set of some data, name, birth date, and so on. therefore, the relational database is actually a set of nesting three, set of sets, or rigid structure. Each tuple has a fixed number of elements, so the number of columns is rigid. But let's consider arbitrary, not rigid. So set of sets arbitrary. What about nesting? Why only three? Why not arbitrary nesting? What about cycling? So let's assume that we are clicking here on computer science. We will get to another table, computer science. Click then. Maybe we'll return back to the same table. So cycles are possible in principle, like in World Wide Web, but it's just a relation. It's a quasi-relational approach. So somewhere deep, we can return back to students. It's quite possible. So cyclic sets are possible, are reasonable, and nothing strange with them. So, the traditional semi-structured approach is based on navigational view on data. So, we consider graph from the point of view of navigation. So, we have some vertex or node in this graph, and we can click and go to some other vertex and so on, navigate. So, here is just fork fragment of some arbitrary graph, and this fork fragment without going edges level by some levels can be represented set theoretically. We just write U is as a set name. We consider the name of a vertex as a set name and represent this in this way. U is set consisting of elements U1, UN leveled by these levels. So a very simple representation of correspondence between graphs and set equations. This is just set equations exactly like previous. Set equation, 1, 2, so database is system of set equations. Very simple. So graph nodes represent sets, actually hypersets, because it's possible like something unusual. So these labeled elements. So this is so navigational view leads to graph representation. And this is traditional to various approaches to semi-structured databases and query languages. Hyperset view is more abstract because hyperset is something not just graph, it's abstract entities. but completely consistent with the navigational view. And builds ideas from set theory rather than from graphs. Hypersets and graphs are inseparable in this approach. Just two levels of abstractions. A higher level of abstraction is abstract sets, and low level of abstraction just graphs which serve for computational goals. So if you will think in computational terms, we should work with graphs. If you think abstractly, we should work just with abstract hypersets. So. Like for the relational database. Relation is stable or is it a set of something? Table of set. Abstractly set, concretely the table. Just very natural. So, hyperset representation So hyperset represented by set equations. So consider arbitrary recursive system of set equations like this. Some S set name S5, set name S3, S5, S3. So its set consists of three elements leveled by some levels. These levels may be some values, some names, some anything. Date of birth, anything could be here in place of levels. Set names are just set names, nothing else. That denotes sets. So this, any web-like database or semi-structured database is just a system of such set equations. Like for our example for relational database. In vector form, just briefly. So elements of such a set and set equation represent outgoing from this S5 edges. So like here. So it generates a graph and vice versa. So system of set equation and graph is the same concept, but system of set equation is something textual, graph is something visual, nothing else. Let me recall so-called anti-foundation axiom from hyperset theory, which says that any system of set equations, any, we consider finite system of finite sets, everything is finite, any system of set equations have exactly one solution, exactly one abstract solution. So when we have such database represented as system of set equations, we actually have a system of hypersets described by this system of set equations abstractly, and concretely just system, just textual data which we can work, compute, and make some manipulations. Once we have abstract concrete objects, like rational numbers, fractions and rational number, abstract concept. Two fractions can denote the same number. The same here. Two set names from system to set equation can denote the same set, abstract set. Two different names could represent the same abstract set. Just and quite analogous to what we know about rational numbers. And we can ask what does when two set names denote the same set, equal. Another term, bisimilar. We can use it on bisimulation relation. Or we can say whether two set names are informationally non-distinguishable or distinguishable, equal, non-equal. Or bisimilar or non-bisimilar. Various terminology about this can be used, and this can be formalized very simple in this way. We can derive that two sets are distinguishable if we can find some W in SY, SI, such that for all V in SJ, W and V are non-equal, non-bisimilar. So we can derive, just formally, this abstract idea, we can abstract idea about equality of abstract sets can be computed just by these formal rules. Just an example, we have two graphs represented by system of set equations. And this is bisimulation relation. Actually, these are two also bisimilar. And when we check what is bisimilar or not, when we glue together bisimilar vertices of these graphs or identify set names, we'll simplify. This is simplified version of this. Or here there are a lot of redundancies. We can remove this redundancy and we'll get non-redundant graph or non-redundant system of equation or non-redundant database without no redundancies. So, quite natural concept. Additional thing, distributed database. So, system of set equation can be divided into several groups, put in several files, and maybe HTML files or XML files, with some hyperlinks, because if we have some set name participating in one of these files, one of the subsystem of set equations, which is described in another, so we probably should have a link. So it can be an additional way to call this web-like database, especially if it is distributed between many files, maybe remote, in the like World Wide Web. Now the query language. Query language is actually very simple. And actually, the core part of this language, or basic or rudimentary fragment of the language delta, this is described here, it's actually was created by Gandhi and Jensen, a basic rudimentary fragment. So very simple. Actually, here there is additional levels because we are working with sets with leveled elements because the levels are carry information, some names of people and anything are just in the levels. And these graphs organize information in some semi-structured way. So we are working with abstract hypersets, and therefore we use just the ordinary, normal set theoretical language. Terms, we have terms and we have formulas. Terms denote sets or hypersets. Formulas are either true or false in the universe of hypersets. Each set variable is a term. Empty set is a term. This is an element set consisting of these leveled elements. It's a term, it's not a hyperset consisting of these elements A1, AN, which are also sets or set of it can be nested. Union of any set is a term, transitive closure of any set. What's transitive closure? We have a set, take all elements of elements and so on, we'll get transitive closure. Even if it is a hyperset, even there are cycles, in any case, we have transitive closure, we have this construct. The set of all T of X such that X belongs to A and phi holds. Well-known concept to everybody, it's quite well known. Equality is a formula. If we have some relation between two levels, for example, less, just lexicographical order, or level one is substring of another level two. So substring, what is traditional for the database concept? So membership relation, we say that A belongs to B. A leveled by level L0 belongs to B. So this pair is belongs to B because elements are leveled. Only leveled elements are considered. Conjunction of any such formal disjunction, negation, and bounded quantification. For all X and A, phi holds. For exist X and A, phi holds. Why bounded? Because if it would be unbounded, we would be unable to compute. Everything is finite. I say IA is finite set. For all X in finite set, we can compute this. We can embrace this finite elements of set A. So it's computable. So everything here is computable. And here also is bound. For the set of T such that X belongs to A. It's restricted, like in just the ordinary set theory. Restricted, by this reason it's computable. A is finite, it's computable. Everything is computable. Transitive closure, because if A is finite, just take transitive closure, you will get a finite set, and so on. So bounded quantification, very important thing. And actually everything computable in polynomial time. So given a database, which is system of set equations, or just relatively finite hyperset, as input, where we'll take the values for free variables of these expressions, we can compute everything in polynomial time with respect to the input. Input is our system of set equations, or our graph. So we can compute the result in polynomial time. More precisely, what is definable in this language extended by additional two, let's add additional operation, recursion and decoration. I will explain later. Extend this language by this construct, and then expressive power will be exactly polynomial time. So it is like in descriptive complexity theory. This language, quite logical, of logical character, with additional recursion and decoration construct, give exactly polynomial time computability, so it has precise expressive power, so therefore it's actually the answer to the questions which were mentioned in the first slides. There is a version for log space, logarithmic space, some other version of this delta language captures exactly logarithmic space over finite, well-founded sets, so cycles are not allowed. It's interesting to do this with cycles, but it's still unclear how to do that. So logarithmic space can be captured for a well-founded case, but p time is captured was for well-founded, non-well-founded with cycles. It's okay. Therefore we have precise description of expressive power of reasonable language. Recursion operator, just I will explain these operators. Just have this form. We define recursively a set P in terms of itself. In terms of itself, this looks like a comprehension separation schema in set theory. So we define recursively. So very much like to what we have in first order logic extended by a fixed point operator. Assume that P occurs positively, defined in an iterative process. So this sequence defined in the iterative process stabilizes, and this result of stabilization is exactly the value of this set. So this is a term which denotes a new delta term, which denotes a set recursively defined by this construct. Now decoration operator. It's very important operator. Without this decoration operation, we cannot say that we have expressive power of polynomial time. We need this. So take an arbitrary hyperset. For any hyperset, some of its elements can happen to be ordered pairs. First and second are some fixed labels to make this ordered pair. So some of these elements could be ordered pairs, some maybe not. Ignore all other elements, only ordered pairs. Therefore, this can be any set G can be considered as a graph. So this ordered pair may be labeled as elements of this G. So graph with labeled edges. So any hyperset G denotes a graph. Any hyperset V from our universe of all hypersets could be considered as a vertex of this graph. Maybe it participates here, maybe not. If it doesn't participate, it's isolated vertex. Otherwise, it's vertex from this graph. And therefore, we know that each vertex of each finite graph denotes some hyperset. Therefore, this is the meaning of this operation. Decoration operation has two inputs, any hyperset J, any hyperset V. This is considered as a graph, this is considered as a vertex of this graph, and the result will be the unique hyperset, which is denoted by this graph according to the antifoundation axiom for graph which I mentioned before. The antifoundation axiom says that each graph has a unique decoration, unique. So each vertex of a graph denotes a unique hyperset. Intuitively, this operation may be called Planck performance operator. Let's consider this pair GV as a graph. It's like a plan. So we have a plan, and what you want to fulfill the plan, to construct a building here, to construct hyperset. So. We will perform this plan and we will get as a result the hyperset which is constructed according to this plan. Quite natural view on this decoration operation. This is just an example, very simple example. Given this set G, it will have such a graph, actually a cyclic graph. It denotes this graph, and applying this decoration to vertices W, which has no children. Therefore, it's empty set. V has one child, W, it will be singleton empty. U has two children, U has child V and child W. It will have two elements, just these two elements. So these two elements. So each graph, and each vertex of the graph denotes some set. This is a cyclic, it is simple. This is cyclic, if we will consider such graph, just loop. Then it will denote this set omega, which unusual set omega. So this cyclic set, hyperset, is not definable without decoration operation. So decoration is necessary at least to define anything which is cyclic. This idea about Planck performance, let me present this idea in a little bit more practical flavor. So graph G can be considered as a plan of constructing a system of web or web-like database pages. So we have a plan, and we fulfill this plan, and the result will be a system of real web pages which are hyperlinking one with another according to this plan. So this plan and program computes, and the result of this computation will be some real system of web pages and so on. or web-like database pages. So it's just plain performance operator. Quite natural construct. Operational semantics of delta queries. So we can think about these queries just theoretically, but according to our intuition, but also we should compute. So computer cannot think. We should explain how to do that, how to compute. So this is the way how to compute. So web-like database is system of set equations, or graph, system of set equations. So and we have some arbitrary, so delta term T, which H delta term is set theoretical operation, like union or any decoration, any set theoretical operation. H delta formula is denote true or false. Both of them can be considered as a query. This is Boolean query, this is query which, like in the database, given a relational database, we compute some new relation, from relations to relation. Here, from hypersets to hypersets. So, terms compute new hypersets or new data. So, we have a system of set equations or some system of hypersets. We could retrieve some data which is also hyperset, retrieved from this existing graph or system of hyperset. So it's done by terms. If we would like to know that something is true or false, it's done by formulas, delta terms. So the process of computation will be done as a process of reduction of an initial database extended by our query. Yes, our query with delta term. Just write the equation. Introduce a new set name, result. New set name, which doesn't exist in our initial database. And write this equation, equal to key. T is arbitrary delta term. It can be complicated, nested, and contain recursion, anything else. Anything could contain, can be contained in delta term. Our expression from our language. Now, it's non-flat, because T is something non-flat. Flat, it will be just a set consisting of some elements which are simple. So, non-flat. And we would like to flatten. And this process will be flattening. Just add this to this WDB, we'll get WDB 0 as the result of this extension, then start to compute. Actually, this will be, each next will be a little bit wider, so the system of equations will be extended by new set names and new set equations. and at the end, we'll flatten everything, and this set name res will actually be flattened, therefore this res result will denote some hyperset. And this will be the result. This will be the result. So the unique hyperset denoted by this res in this in the resulting extended database will be the result, computed value. In the case of Boolean formulas, we should allow Boolean equation, not set equation, Boolean. The result is equal to 5, which should be either true or false after flattening. So this is just example of this, just these rules. So assume that our database contains, in particular, these equations. It could contain much more, but these are contained there. So reduction rules are the following. Assume that our new equation, which we added to our database, is this one. We want to compute this query. So we added this equation. This is reduced to the following. We extend our system set equation by these new equations. So we simplify this. Res 1, res A as additional set names. So it is a little bit unnested now. And res 1 is T1, res A is TA. So we just simplify it a bit. So it's simple rule. Next rule, if we have such equation where S, P, Q are just set names, no nesting, set names, nothing to do, no reduction, in the case of certain names. So it's just, we finish it, this process. If we have such equation, just a union of some set names, S, P, Q, set names, then according to our system of set equation, we know that S consists of this element, P consists of this element. Just take union as usually. We know what is union. Quite natural. So this way we reduce this equation to this equation, a little bit flattening it. And then other rules for this union. If it is union of S, so S is consists of this. So S is a set of sets. Union of set of sets will be union of sets S1, S2, and so on. They, all of them, should be unified. Just quite natural, absolutely natural. This is this expression can be this equation can be reduced to this one. So I will not go into details because I have not enough time. So we have rules which reduce everything, and I omitted here rules for transitive closure, which is in our language, recursion and decoration. I omitted this to save time. So everything can be done. Queries preserve equality. Equality means by simulation. Two different set names can denote the same set. So if these set names X bar, Y bar denote the same sets, then Q of X and Q of Y for any delta term Q should be equal. So the result should be the same. So if they are equal, then any formula or Boolean query should be give equivalent result. So it is not self-evident, it should be proved. It should be proved. Because our computation is manipulation with system of set equations. We manipulate with this formally. And who knows, maybe the result will be not bisimilar. It will be bisimilar or it will be equal if the initial data were equal. Like for rational numbers, when we add two rational numbers given by two fractions and take similar equivalent fractions, and the result will be the same. Absolutely the same idea here. So, union, for example, union, if these two are denote the same hyperset, then unions must be the same. It should be checked. We should check this. So it's also called congruence relation, or we can say that by simulation invariant, these queries. So various terminology can be used here, or preserving equality just. So this represents more abstract set theoretical level of thought. So we can think about this abstractly, set theoretically. We can manipulate with this concretely with the help of manipulating by system of set equation, like manipulating with rational numbers at school. What is suggested here is that there is. It is possible to have abstract view on everything. Even don't think too much about graphs. But these views, the different levels of abstraction, are closely related. Now let me show how path expressions can be defined in this language. There was nothing about path expressions, but I told that this language is essentially it's consistent with the idea of navigation. And now I just demonstrate how it could be done. This is a formal definition of path expressions. Empty path expression, any label constant can be considered a path expression. Label variable, also path expression. Underscore means any label path expression. Concatenation of two path expressions. Or this is like this dot is replaced by Z. That is variable or constant for sets. So, or for the graph node. So we have path expression Q, P, concatenate them, saying that intermediate node will be Z. So this is iteration, this is optional executing of the path expression, alternation, either P or Q. This is both, so branching. Our path may be branching. So this is just syntactical concepts. In UNKL, they are called patterns. It's an extension of the concept that was used in UNKL, the language defined by Bunemann and other authors. So So this is past expressions. Actually, now we can define some auxiliary expression. In delta, we can define something auxiliary related with these past expressions, some formula. With P is past expression, T is a delta term. This is assertion, which says that there exists possibly branching path from P to T via all vertices and levels mentioned in P. So we know that in P there are P can mention some vertices, some levels can be participate. So it's this assertion. This is another thing. It's a term which denotes what's written here, but I'm not sure that I have time to explain this in details. Actually we can define in our language some delta term of this form and delta formula of this form, delta term of this form, and we can use this in our delta language in the following way. Actually, one addition. When we discuss these past expressions, there is a subtle point. For example, our past expressions is saying something about some cycle. So going through the same node. What means the same? If pure graph point of view, just the same node. But here, the same means up to by simulation. So, therefore, there is an additional subtle point about this past expression, about semantics of this past expression. Everything here is hidden in this definition, formal definition, which can be done in this language, and these definitions are how to define this, and this is just this formula. For example, this alternation, we use in disjunction, here we use in conjunction, this is intermediate. There is an intermediate node. If there exists and some y such that, so everything is definable quite naturally. And this is for another kind of expression. This is a delta term, so it's definable. Here, by the way, we are in the case of transitive closure. So if any path can be repeated any number of times, so it's we are using recursion. So recursion operator is used. It is used to define transitive closure. So here we are using recursion operator. So here again we are using union, here we are using intersection. So, and now we can extend, it's some particular cases, just this simple path expression, some expression containing involving path, just equivalent to just membership relation. So just some partial cases are mentioned here, and in particular, the ordinary transitive closure is used quite naturally. And here is extension of our language. So we can extend our quantification. There exists a path leading, actually, there exists a path from T. So actually, we quantify over this variable z. So all of them should be quantified. So this is formal definition. This is formal definition. So we can extend our language by these past expressions with the help of previous definitions. So quantification can be generalized. The previous quantification was just there exists a set which is a member for another set such that here it is. Something general. Path expression can participate here. Here, in another extension, set of all S of Z such that what we had here before. We had here before that some set belongs to some other set. Now it's path expression participating here. Union, and so on. We can extend our language by path expression. Just it is actually some syntactical sugaring because everything is definable in this language. So. However, our language at the very beginning did not have path expressions. Now it could be extended, and it will not extend the expressive power of the language because it's expressive enough. Now, I have almost no time. Comparison of Delta languages, UNQL and UNQL, another is Jung and Kao, sorry, I made some mistake here. All of the Jung, so two versions of a language are mentioned here. So this language were considered by Bunimand of its own Hilbrandt Suscher and also Fernandez. This language is why I'm comparing Delta language with hyperset approach with these approaches, with these languages, because they are most analogous to Delta, most analogous. They are also considering database as graph with level pages and up to by similarity relation. So this is the main feature of this approach. They consider are considering graphs up to by simulation relation. So therefore it is close, it's analogous to hypersets. But it is not exactly, these are not exactly hypersets, these graphs, because they consider some so-called inputs, so graphs with input vertices, with output vertices, and some manipulation with these inputs and outputs is happening in this in the defining of semantics of this two versions of the language. Sorry for my mistake. So, and however, this is up to by simulation. They these graphs are treated really as graphs, not as hyperset. When semantics of this language is defined, appellation is just to graphs. And if you recall what the Delta language, where was appellation to graphs? Sets. Only decoration operation was appealed to graphs. Only this operation. Here everything is about sets. Quite intuitive, quite abstract. Here it is actually essentially graph languages. However, after by simulation relation. However, there is some relation with hypersets. And we can imitate. We can imitate. I already talked about this. Delta almost completely can be understood in terms of hypersets. But this approach for the languages UNQL and UNCAL, it is similar, but essentially, nevertheless, essentially graph theoretical. And when we imitate these languages in Delta language, the imitation is done in terms of graph, in terms of graphs. Here's some addition about the fact that we can use XML for representation of hypersets, so it's some additional. So here is that we can interpret arbitrary hyperset as a graph. Take just transitive closure, and this transitive closure will be a carrier or the set of nodes of this graph. And when we apply decoration operation to this graph, we will get the same set again. And this is used to imitate these languages. Let me know that this language UNCAL contains so-called append operation. We have, one graph with, for example, input-output, another graph with input-output. We just append them one to another. In principle, there is generalization when there could be many inputs, many outputs, and they could be related. This output not necessarily links. So this is append operation. It can be imitated, so describe it here, how to imitate it with the help of decoration operation. So all of this can be done in with the help of decoration operation. For example, more general append operation, when we are appending not two sets, but any number of sets or graph data. And even arbitrary, the data may be organized not just as chain, as arbitrary graph. Everything can be imitated. There is a so-called structural recursion from these languages, UNCAL and UNQL. It also can be, there is some additional note about relation with structural recursion with another kind of recursion defined in set theory by Jensen and Karp. Structural recursion for the case of non-well-founded sets or for the case of cyclic data, this is the version which considered by this in this language. This is some generalization of this operation. Horizontal, this is vertical version, when the recursion is goes deeply from set to its element. Here is horizontal, it is, you see, it is, we are using the ordered, the concept of ordered pair. There is horizontal version, which is, you know, all both of them are definable with the help of decoration operation in the Delta language. And in this way, we can say that expressive power of Delta, of these two languages, U and QL and U and CAL, is actually, these languages can be embedded into Delta, but not vice versa. But I probably have no time to discuss about this, not vice versa. So there are more details in my paper or in these slides. So, sorry, thank you.